Yeah, I wake up, I lay up, and shuttle down to the center of my government, the underground. Y'all be in it like it's London now. Y'all be preaching self-care, but I wonder how.
Welcome back to Season 2 of Industrier. Today's interview is with Karolanka, a Toronto-based hip-hop duo made of Rohan Raj and DJ AP. Since 2019, the group has released track after track of danceable instrumentals and intricate bars. But they're here today because they just did something amazing. They've written and recorded an EP in 24 hours. You heard that right, one whole day. What's more, they live-streamed the whole thing on Twitch. The EP Dare Package is out now on all platforms. Ned got a chance to talk with Rohan and AP about it, how they channel their experiences into their music, and how they embrace their own corniness. Let's go to the conversation now.
All right, so we've got Karolanka here to start. Why don't you guys just introduce yourselves and talk about the role you play in the group?
Yeah, for sure. I can start. So I'm Rohan. I'm one half of Karolanka. We're a hip hop duo based here in Toronto, or rather the Greater Toronto area. And I'm a rapper and producer for the group.
And I'm DJ AP, and I'm the producer and engineer for the group.
Awesome. So my first question I got for you guys. It's kind of, a pretty basic one, but I really like to ask it to everyone we interview. What was the music of your childhood? Like, what did you guys grow up on?
Oh, yeah. AP, do you want to?
I can start with this one. Music of my childhood. So I grew up with a lot of different genres, to be honest. My parents, like, especially my dad, like, when I was a kid, he'd always, play, like, the reggae radio stations. My whole family, like, whenever they'd get together and have a party when I was young, like, it would always be like disco, like ABBA, Earth, Wind, Fire, like all of that. That would be a lot of the music I grew up with. And then also, like, my family comes from Sri Lanka, and so we're Tamil. So I grew up with a lot of Tamil music. In India, there's this composer, his name's A.R. Rahman. And so I grew up with a lot of his music. That's still something I listen to a lot of. So it's like a lot of different cultures. Like there's like the reggae, there's the disco, there's I actually didn't grow up with much like hip hop actually when I was a kid. That was something I got into like as I like maybe in like I want to say like high school actually is like when I started really getting into hip hop. Because I had a few cousins who were into hip hop and like they would always listen to hip hop. So like I started getting onto that. But yeah, like that was mostly what I grew up with.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
And yeah, for me, a lot of the similar, sort of similar parallels in regards to like the disco stuff and whatnot with like family parties, just like family parties were a huge driver in regards to like music discovery for me growing up. And so just being able to see like my parents, like uncles, aunties, everyone like dancing to certain music was a huge influence on me and just my perception of music growing up. And so a lot of dancey stuff, also a lot of classic rock actually, which was, I grew up in India until the age of 8, which is when I immigrated to Canada. And, you know, classic rock was just huge, I think, with my dad's group of friends at that time. And so just a lot of like a lot of go-to names like Bon Jovi and whatnot, but also like psychedelic music, like, you know, Pink Floyd and whatnot, growing up on that kind of stuff. And my mom listened to a lot of country, funny enough, but that didn't have much of an impact on me. Although RIP Kenny Rogers. But I think growing up after sort of immigrating to Canada and trying to figure out my own identity, that's when I started to gravitate towards hip hop more. And just, you know, being a brown kid, I think in Canada, there was no real representation of like what I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to listen to. And so you sort of like go between black culture and white culture in a lot of ways, where it's like, I'm going back and forth between like Linkin Park and like, you know, Atlanta hip hop and sort of like trying to carve my own identity in a lot of ways. And I think the reason I ended up gravitating towards hip hop a lot is because it's, you know, it's beautiful because it's like hip hop is ultimately derivative of other music, like from a sampling standpoint and from all these different standpoints. And so I was able to sort of like converge all of my other influences into the craft. And yeah.
Cool. It's awesome. So, like, how long have you guys been making music by yourselves or together, either?
So together we've been making music since like 2017, like actively, like, I guess. So
like, I guess like you could say officially.
Officially, yeah. I mean, we had like studio sessions, and when I say studio, I mean like meeting up in our home studios.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had like quote unquote sessions before that and whatnot, but actively like making music since 2017. I've been writing like rap and like just like toying around with production probably since the age of like 12. I'm 27 now, so like 15 years.
Yeah. And for me, it was like 2015 was like the first time I ever like tried making a beat, and I wasn't very serious about it then. But then like 2016 is like the summer of 2016 is when I actually started really going in and just learning the craft. Yeah, and like before that I was DJing, but like when it came to like making music, it was like, yeah, 2016 for me.
So did you guys know each other before you started making music together, or is that how you became?
Yeah, so we've known each other since since 2012 when
2012.
I went, yeah, since I went to university. That was my first year in university, and he was in his second year, and I met him through my cousin. Shout outs to my cousin Roy. But yeah, so I met him through my cousin, and then like we were just friends, and then it was like more like I guess closer to the end of our university journey that we like really started getting to the music side of things. Hey man, you want to tell the story about my DJ gig?
Oh, are you talking about the hits joint story?
Yeah, that story.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, we were just like really good friends, honestly. And then I know AP wanted to like get into DJing and stuff, so I'd go to his DJ gigs. Like he'd DJ at like our university's club and whatnot. And one day after like one of his gigs, we just like went back to my place, and we were just like having a good time. And he all of a sudden, I don't know how it happened, but we started talking about like sound engineering, and he starts like throwing out all these technical terms about like equalization and compression. And me, like all of the friends that I had that knew anything about sound engineering were all online. Like I didn't have any like people I knew in real life who knew what any of those things were. So I was just like mind blown. I was just like, dude, how do you know about like all of these things? Like, that's super cool. Like, we should chop it up about this sometime. Right. And he like, basically that day, like the TLDR, like the short form story, is basically like we ended up like, I realized he was dabbling into production, and we ended up basically like that night after his DJ
after
gig,
my DJ gig. Like, so this was already like at, yeah, like 2 a.m
2 a.m or something like that. Yeah, we just ended up trying to make music for like 5-6 hours, and it ended up being like we just like looked outside the window and it was like sunrise. Wow. And that was before Karolanko was a thing. That was before, yeah, both of us were like trying to make this our full-time careers. But it was like, it was such a pivotal moment, because it was the first snapshot we had into like, you know, our working relationship. And the fact that like just 7 hours went by after AP had already had a, yeah, DJ gig, and we were just like going at it trying to like make art, was like a great sign into like, you know, our chemistry as sort of creative partners.
Yeah, just from the beginning. Yeah.
Where did the name come from, by the way?
So it's basically, my parents are Malayali, which is like they're from a state called Kerala in India, which is like it's like a South, okay, Indian state, and his parents are from Sri Lanka. And so it's actually AP, I don't know if you want to tell the story about just how specifically it came about, but that's,
yeah,
the origin.
Yeah, why not just give the origin story? So one day we're actually in a coffee shop, and we're like, just this is like when we're like, okay, let's make this a thing, right? And we're in this coffee shop, and we're just sitting down brainstorming a bunch of ideas on a piece of paper of like different names.
For the name,
we had,
yeah,
some names of like, I don't even remember the names, but they were like, they were
terrible
kind of
names,
dude. Yeah, terrible
space
names.
Space value.
Oh, space value was actually
space,
one of them.
Oh, yeah. God. So bad.
We actually thought that one was going to be the one that made it. But then, like, last minute, like, in that coffee shop, we're like, okay, what are some things that we can combine about, like, commonalities that we can combine together? I forgot who it was. Was it me or
you? I said it as a joke.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, you're from Sri Lanka. I'm from Kerala. Haha, Karolanka. And we laughed for like 3 minutes. I don't know why we found it funny. We were like, that's hilarious. That's so stupid.
Yeah, that's so funny. But then like
3 minutes later, we're like, wait, is it stupid? Or is it like actually kind of
But then
cool?
We were also in that coffee shop at that point for like a good like 2 hours at least. So we're like, you know what? Let's like write it down. we might just be like settling for something. Let's write it down, wake up in the morning and see how we feel about it. And we woke up in the morning and then we're like, I think that's it.
It felt really good because it's felt even better as time passes, because I've realized like a lot of our like lyrical content, a lot of like the production and whatnot, it's like very much about the immigrant experience. It's very much about like, you know, representation, like authentically mm-hmm. being you, trying to give a voice to kids who growing up didn't really have a voice in mainstream media. You know, that's like a lot of our stuff. And so it's dope to even have people ask that question, like, you know, where does the name come from, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you're able to like have an educational experience where you can talk about like where our parents are from and our like lived experiences and everything. So yeah, that's sort of like the origin and story and philosophy, I guess, behind the name.
Yeah,
super cool. So you just mentioned a little bit the kinds of things that you guys make music about, but in a broader sense, how do you think you would characterize your music if you had to explain it to someone who had never heard it before?
It's interesting. Like, there's two pieces to it. If you were to just look at the lyrical content, I think, you know, again, a lot of like, because I'm writing the music, I guess, like, just a lot of my lived experiences around being a brown dude, you know, representation, the immigrant experience, and obviously, like, shades of trying to take it from just being about like a brown dude to also my own personal experiences and being accepted for that, right? I think Riz Ahmed, who's a really, really dope like rapper, actor, like activist, he has like this really cool essay, and I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's, our manager always, Cheyenne always refers to it. It's a really cool essay, which I think encapsulates sort of like what we're going for in a really cool way. It's basically like the three levels of representation, right? Like, when you as a minority group, when you first start to be represented on mainstream media or you're trying to get your own voice out there, it's the most surface level, like basic side of things, right? It's like you're a brown dude, so it's like you find like a brown dude in a convenience store, like stereotype, like Apu with like a, you know, with an Indian accent, right? Or like, oh, a cab driver or a doctor, like just sort of like very surface level like representations of who you are. Then the second level is like, okay, one step above that is like, okay, you can be yourself. Like, you don't have to be a cab driver or like a doctor or whatever. You're yourself, but you're tokenized, right? So it's like, okay, you can find a regular brown dude, a regular black dude, a regular like queer person in a movie, but they're the only one of their kind. Like, they're basically like tokenized as like filling a quota, right? It's like, we'll have this one queer person, this one brown person, this one woman, like in this cast, basically. And the mm-hmm. third level is like, basically like when your minority group is able to get to the standpoint where it's like, you let go of all of those things, where it's like, okay, I'm not being cast because I'm brown and I need to fill a quota. I'm not being cast because I fit a certain stereotype. I'm being cast because I'm a dope actor, because I'm a dope rapper. I'm just, they're casting me because I am, you know, Donald Glover, right? For example, they're casting me because of who I am. And so I think, you know, a lot of our music is like striving towards that third level, where it's like, unfortunately, you do have to knock down pillar one and two to get to number three, but it's sort of like striving towards that point. And I think the way we're trying to sort of like unlock that third level is by just being ourselves, which is why, you know, our tagline, which represents a lot of our character and who we are, is corny as fuck, but the music bangs, right? Which is like,
yeah,
you listen to the music and, you know, you listen to the music and then look at our TikToks and Instagram, and it's like, it's so sort of distant and different from each other that you'd be like, who, like, how the
are these the same guys?
Are these like the same people? But that's, yeah, but that's the duality we exist in, right? Is like, we love dropping dad jokes and like, we love that, like the corny skits. Like, we love TikTok. Like, I know everyone makes fun of TikTok, but it's like, we love TikTok. Just like that kind of, like, we love that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't drop bars and can't, like, you know, make experimental music. It's sort of like that duality of us, like, really, I think, drives forward our character. Yeah.
Did it take time as musicians to reach that like ownership of just who you are, or were you able to like from the jump just
be yourselves? No, man, it took a while. I think AP honestly has always like sort of been himself, but it took me personally a while to unlock myself into that. Like, actually, AP, I don't know if you want to like start off that. I think you know where I'm going with this, the whole he's thing, our old brand, like.
Oh, right. Yeah. When we're starting off with Karolanka, we're like trying to figure out like what is our brand, right? And like, obviously we know now like the best brand is to just be who you are naturally, and that just comes across as that, right? But like when we're starting off, we're like trying to like think about it from like a business perspective, like, oh, like what is our brand? And then we're like trying to fit into like a certain mold, and we're almost like, okay, well, maybe like me, I'll be like the producer, but I'll be upfront and I'll be like the bright, like positive, colorful guy. And then maybe like Rohan will be like, we'll call him, well, he'll be this like mysterious guy, like who just has a hat on and it's like has a very dark like color scheme and everything. And basically like we're like, yeah, like that's a dope idea, man. And like literally like, I don't know how much longer later it was. Like it was like, I feel like it was just like in my head, it feels like just like a week later, but yeah, correct me.
But
if
it was
I'm
like
wrong.
3 or 4 months. It had been a few months.
Okay. It had been a few
months. Yeah. I came home and I was like, bro, like I'm not, this is exhausting. Like, this is not me, you know, like I'm not this like Bryson Tiller, the Weekend Nav kind of like super mysterious figure, like with his hat down, like hiding who I am. Actually, if you go to our Spotify catalog, you'll notice our like all song. Of our cover arts are like very cohesive. But the first track, Cold Culture, is like me, like with my hat down, and it's super dark and mysterious. Oh, yeah. And that's like what we were trying out in the moment. And eventually, I think we locked into figuring out that like authenticity is super key. And that's why we sort of like pivoted. And now we feel like so much more comfortable, I think, with our dynamic and who we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like even musically, like for me, like I guess just the reason I got into it was like, a big part of it was just like it was just like a dope form of expression, and to me, like that's just all about just feeling whatever you're feeling in the moment and just expressing it through like for me it was like expressing it through the beats. So like even in the summer of 2016 when I started taking producing seriously, like I would sit down every day and make a beat a day during that summer. And basically, that was like inspired by like Kanye, because he did like the, what was it, like the
five beats a day for three summers.
And I was like, oh, you know, like that's pretty tough, but I think I can make like a beat a day for like one summer, you know, like I that'll at least hone me in on the craft a bit. And like I just remember every day, like it was like some days I wouldn't feel like making something, but like I'd be like, but that's still a feeling, maybe I can like capture it somehow. Or I'd like come up with something really weird, but I'd be like, hey man, I like it, so I'm just gonna post it on my Instagram, like I don't care. So like to me, like the production side of things has always been about just like being very authentic to what I'm feeling in the moment. But yeah.
It's dope, man.
Cool.
We'll be right back to the interview after a brief message from our sponsor. Let's get back to our conversation with Karolanka.
So now that we've got a little bit of context, you guys recently accomplished something amazing. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So we you know, with the context, we've had this idea for a while, but with the context of everyone staying at home in quarantine and whatnot, it basically pushed us to execute on it. We created an EP from scratch in 24 hours and live streamed the whole thing on Twitch. Super dope experience. It was definitely challenging, you know, but you know, we came out of it.
I think that's a big reason why we took it on, is because like we knew it would be challenging, and like 100%. We'll get into the story behind it in a bit, but yeah, sorry, continue.
No, I was gonna say, like, I think we came out of it with our strongest sonic result to date. Like, just I'm so proud of just like what we came out with. It's like unapologetically, like, we moved in a bit more of an experimental direction. We really captured like what we were feeling in the moment, and it's called Dare Package. It's on Spotify, it's on all streaming services,
Apple Music,
now
everything.
Yeah, a little plug, but no, it was such a cool experience to like create art in front of other people. I know a lot of artists aren't comfortable with that, but for us, like, I don't know, like it's dope to me to share our process with other people, because I know that we're comfortable enough with ourselves that we're not gonna like compromise in the process, even if other people are watching. We're just gonna do what we do and like you guys can observe, kind of thing. And so yeah, it was a really cool experience. We had like over 2,200 unique people tune in over the like 24-hour period. Tons of people have, you know, we've had our most successful like first day like release stats to date. So I'm just super happy with how everything turned
super
out.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like also just to expand on the point of just like being comfortable, just being in our process while people are watching. It's like that was also something we like worked up to. Like if we were to have said set this goal like when we started, I feel like it would not have turned out as like very well. But it's because we've done a lot of things along the way that have got us comfortable with that idea of just sharing our process. Like I'll just give a few examples, yeah. But it's like early last year, 2019.
Yeah, 2019. 2018 or slash 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, end of 2018, beginning of 2019, we did this thing called the Karolanka Show, where basically what we did is we would bring on a guest who's like in the music industry or like just a dope artist or whatever they're doing, like something that we really vibed with, and like we'd bring them on, and it was a podcast as well, except we did it on YouTube, so we had a video component. And basically what we do is like while we're interviewing them, we'd make a beat inspired by their answers to our questions. And basically we did like I think, yeah, 7 episodes of that, and like that got us really comfortable with the idea of just creating music live in front of people, because yeah. We're like, wow, like we've made some like pretty dope beats. And like we're pretty happy with where that was. Then we, right now, well, it's on pause at the moment. But what we started like a couple of months ago is this thing called Corn Hub. So let me explain.
It's not what you think it is, all right?
Let me explain. Basically, what we do is like we'll go on IG, and now we do TikTok Live as well. And we create a beat in 15 minutes using 3 rules texted to us by our fans. And we do that live in the 15 minutes. And again, like that would like yield some dope results as well. And then I think like a combination of those things has definitely just made us comfortable to the point where we're like, you know what, man, like quarantine, let's take advantage of this. Like our shows are on pause. Like what can we do right now, right? And instead of complaining about it, it's like, what can we do? And
totally.
We're like, let's make an EP in 24 hours. Let's just set ourselves to the goal, do the reach out, market it, and just like do our best to make this.
That's interesting. I never really thought about it that way, AP. Like we sort of like worked our way into it. Like we didn't just go, okay, we're gonna do a 24-hour EP. Like we did Karolanka Show, then we did like making beats in 15 minutes using rules that fans have texted us, and this was sort of like the culmination of all of that. So I think it was a lot of sort of context building and just training for the moment, unintentionally, I guess, training for the moment.
Yeah, like we didn't know it at the time, but like looking back in retrospect, it's like, oh, it seems so obvious. Yeah.
So it seems like you guys were really like, I don't know, prepared for this challenge. But what were some of the, I guess, harder parts of it? Besides the obvious one of having to stay up for that long, but
I think, you know, going into it, like, well obviously making sure people tune in, like from a marketing standpoint, like we went really hard, and obviously I reached out to Lainey on Reddit, like we DM'd a bunch of people on Reddit to try and get people on and just see who's interested, and obviously dealing with a lot of like fuck yous, like
really
stop DMing me, and I mean it is what it is.
It's Reddit, it, right? Know, like it makes sense. Reddit. Like no one, yeah, exactly. But, and it's like most people.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
It's like most people are just assuming that it's so funny because like a lot of messages be like, "Are you a bot?" And they'd be like, "No, I'm actually here, man. You. Like I'm actually going in on these DMs right now."
Yeah, like I want people to tune in because I think this would be a cool, like based on what I know about you liking Brockhampton or Tyler the Creator or whatever, like I think you would enjoy this experience because you're probably more intentional of a music listener than someone who's just like listening to the Backstreet Boys, you know. But it's like you got to deal with like the positivity ending, but like honestly the response was overwhelmingly positive, and just like so just like getting people definitely. In to like actually watch the stream, because you know, we don't want just like 3 people to tune in, obviously that was part of it. So I think that was, you know, before the actual stream happened, that was definitely part of just like the puzzle, was figuring out how to get people to listen to it and watch it. During the actual experience, it's funny, I didn't really put much thought into like what the actual live stream experience would be until the day of. Like I didn't have any thought around like I really wanted it to, like part of the challenge was like, how can we go into this with no preconceived notions or like no premeditated thoughts, so that when we get to it, it purely represents like what we're feeling within those 24 hours. Like that's really what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be like,
as genuine as possible to the way we create music in the studio, like on a daily basis, right? And like the way that happens is we come in and we might have like a 1 or 2 thoughts, but most of a lot of the time it's like, I don't know, man. Hey, Rohan will be like, AP, why don't you like try something out, and I'll try something out, and I'll be like, I don't know, man. And then Rohan will hop on, and then I'll be like, oh my god, what did you just put on the? What did you just put in Ableton? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I'll hop on, and like that's the way it just naturally happens.
Some of our shittiest beats have turned into like some of our best beats based on like dragging on one loop or sampling this one chop or like throwing in this one synth melody. Right. It's like just I think like being open minded enough. I think, you know, preparing ourselves to be so vulnerable to the point where it's like, yo, you guys might be on the stream for us with us for like 2 hours, and we might be working on something absolutely for 2 hours. But just know that like it could possibly blossom into something amazing on the third hour or the fourth hour, right? I think that's part of the process. And like, of course, people are gonna chat and be like, "Oh, I'm not really liking that" or whatnot. But it's like you gotta just fuck the noise and just like trust your own process and just like go through the motions, you know? And like it worked out from that standpoint. I think
a lot of it comes down to just trusting in the process too. Totally. It's like I think we've gotten very comfortable with our process, like the way we work together, the way we work alone. Like we've gotten very comfortable with like all of it. So it's I think we're at a level now where it's like we can hear something, and it might not sound that great, but like we can also like we also know that it's like okay, I'm pretty sure one of us can flip this into something that sounds way better than what it's starting off to be. And most of the time it's together, right? Like one of us will do something, but then the other one will use that and amplify that. And
And another challenge I'd say, like more from a mental standpoint, and I touched on this a little bit in the stream, was just being comfortable with the output. This is like hard to say, but being comfortable with the output being something we didn't like after the 24 hours. And you know, it's like there is a
like
possibility
with that idea.
Yeah, like we make it and then honestly we might not like it in a week. Obviously that didn't end up being the case, but it's like that's part of the process too, is just capturing that moment in its most authentic format sometimes means that you might come back to it and not like it. And that's very anti to the idea of take your time in your art and, you know, like really hone in. And like, I love that idea. Of course, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've been working on our debut album for like 2 years. So like, I get that idea, but I think just equally as beautiful is like create something that is purely reflective of that moment and let it go into the world. And part of like what I had to come to terms with is like, maybe I'll make something that I might not like in like a week or two, but as long as it is authentic to that moment, it is what it is, right? Like it's cool. Yeah. It's cool when Anthony Fantano rates something a 10 out of 10, but I think it's cool to study like why did Nas drop like I Am, you know what I'm saying? Like the album that is like universally polarized. It's like, sure, like people might not like it, but what was in his head at that time? Like what made him like move in a more commercial direction? Like I like diving into my favorite artist's psyche when they actually drop projects that people don't like. Because it's like, sure, like you might not like it, but it's like there's a reason that there's a reason the artist made that specific project that time.
It's like, what was their experience at the time, right? Yeah.
Like Jay-Z with Kingdom Come, you know, like there's so many examples like, you know, that I find super fascinating. Like, I guess I empathize with that because I'm an artist and not necessarily a music critic. Like I try to look at things from that lens as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's an artistic decision in itself, right? To just release something in the moment to truly capture just that moment is in itself like an artistic decision. I think we're like very comfortable with both sides of that spectrum of like Rohan said, like, yeah, like we've been working on our debut album for like 2 years now. And so we understand like the value of taking the time with our art, but then we've also gotten very comfortable with our process to the point where it's like, yes, like there's a lot of value in taking the time with art, but there's also a lot of value in also just releasing something as soon as it's made as well, right? And this was more diving into that side of the spectrum.
Awesome. So for the record, do you guys like Dare Package? Do you like what you came up with?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I
love it, man. I love it. From like a production standpoint, I love it. So like obviously like the mixing happened like after the 24 hours, but like I did the mixing on it, and like I'm very proud of the mixing on this.
You killed it.
On this EP, so yeah.
And I feel super happy with just how cohesive it feels. Like I feel happy that, you know, if you listen to a lot of our singles, like it's not that we don't experiment, like we definitely have very experimental singles, but this moved in more of an experimental direction. I was really happy we were able to bring that out, and I'm really happy that we we set our intention at the beginning of the project. Like, I think around, we started streaming at like 12, and like around 1 p.m. we were like, hey, this is what we're going for. This is the emotion we're trying to convey. Let's focus on that for the next like 24 hours. And the end product reflected that initial conversation AP and I had. So I'm very happy.
It was a very creatively fulfilling process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Compared to like our like Cornhub, for example, which is like, it's dope. But like, at least like I find in myself, like in that 15-minute time period, I tend to like gravitate towards what I already know, because it's like 15 minutes. I don't have much time to experiment, and it's live. It's like, okay, I want to sound good, but I know how to make things sound good. Like I know certain,
you know,
techniques.
Formula,
like,
let you know,
me,
formula.
I like, exactly. Right. But this was very creatively fulfilling because it was live, but because of the 24 hours, like, yes, it's a short time for an EP, but at the same time, it's like, there's a lot more time for thought and a lot more time for just willingness to experiment and just take it how it is, which was something I found very fulfilling about this project, which is also why like I love the end product here.
Yeah.
So what's next for you guys? Like, what's on the horizon in the next, I don't know, months, year, whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things. Like, we're really taking this time in quarantine to figure out how we can like continue to build our base, like really mobilize, you know, like our music and get it in front of other people from a marketing standpoint. But musically, we are going to drop our debut album hopefully within the next year. We're still working on it, but we just need some time to like, I think, go away, lock ourselves into a cabin and like, you know, just like finish it off or something like that. So that's definitely coming. In the meanwhile, like, definitely expect a lot of singles, videos, and possibly another 24-hour EP. We've been toying with the idea. You know, yeah. I think we really enjoyed the process, and our fans seem to have really enjoyed it and seem to want more. So while we're all locked down in quarantine, I think either in May or June, we're probably going to run it back and do another 24-hour EP, probably push ourselves even more to, like, you know, create something that's reflective of that moment, hopefully not using like Dare Package as just an anchor point for how it should sound, like just pushing ourselves creatively. And so I'm super
excited.
Again,
just like experimenting, being in that moment.
Yeah.
Just whatever comes.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, we also have like friggin' 50 singles in the pipeline. So like, there's a lot of music like coming down the pipeline, a lot of videos, and yeah. So super excited. Just, we're not slowing down from a musical standpoint. I want to release it all into the world. So
yeah,
awesome, looking forward to it. Thank you guys so much. This has been great, getting some insight into your creative experience and your process. Is there anything else you guys want to say? That's all my questions. So
yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for having us on.
Super dope. I love the podcast name, by the way, Industry Herb. Super cool that you guys are doing this, and I looked at some of the other interviews. It's super cool that you guys are like focusing in on like up and coming artists, so really appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, we're on all social media as Karalanka, KERALANKA. You know, I think to get a holistic picture into who we are beyond the music, I think definitely check us out on social media, because we have those corny skits like I mentioned. We have like the Karalanka universe, which is basically all these characters that come to life. It's awesome. And yeah, we'll be hopefully touring within the next year as well. So hopefully coming to a city near you, hopefully Baltimore. And yeah, I think other than that, Dare Package is out on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, everywhere basically. So check that out as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you guys so much. You have a good one.
You too. Thank you, man.
Too.
Cheers.
Thank you.
This episode of Industry Air was produced by Ned Kuchmenda and edited by Lainey Kuchmenda. Huge thank you to Karalanka for coming on. The intro song is Curfew by Karalanka and will be linked in the description box along with Karalanka's other music and socials. Our outro song is by OK Thanks Baby and will be linked in the description. Graphic design for Industry Air is done by Liam Fitzsimmons and logo design by Andre Fru. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Industry Air Pod and stay on the lookout for hints about upcoming artist interviews. We also have a playlist of songs by all the artists we've interviewed so far, which you can find in the description. As always, thanks for listening. We hope you all are safe and healthy. Tune in next week for another artist interview on IndustryEar.